The Blessings Around Us. Dear friends, do you know how many blessings there are all around us? The air we breathe, the water we drink, the fruits of various kinds, the brightly colored flowers, the delicious foods, our flawlessly functioning bodies, and many other things, more numerous than we can ever count, are all blessings for us. In other words, each one is a gift specially created for us by God. Let us now have a look at some examples of the blessings that surround us and learn how we must be grateful to God for bestowing these blessings on us. The fruits we love. How many different kinds of fruits are there? The bananas, cherries, strawberries, watermelons, melons, and grapes we so love to eat. They all emerge from the soil. But they all have completely different colors, smells, and tastes. Hey, these fruits are all packaged up. This packaging, in other words, their peel, stops them from rotting and keeps them clean, fresh, and fragrant. Fruits such as oranges and grapefruit, which are storehouses of vitamin C, come in segments so they are easy for us to eat. These fruits grow in the winter, just when we need vitamin C to keep us healthy. This is really delicious. In the summer, we need to drink a lot of water. It is then that fruits full of water, such as watermelons, melons, peaches, and grapes appear. We meet our water needs by eating a lot of these fruits. These details are all proofs that God has created fruits especially for us. Had God so wished, there would have been only one kind of food on earth. But he has created a wide variety of things to eat and drink so that we might give thanks to him. And they all taste completely different. This shows just how much God loves us. In our sacred scripture, the Noble Quran, God describes these blessings as good and wholesome thing. God provided you with good and wholesome things. That is God, your Lord. Blessed be God, the Lord of all the worlds. All these fruits were once just seeds, like tiny pieces of wood. These tiny pieces began using water and the minerals in the earth and grew to become very large. And, as we can see, they turned into plants. But how do you think that the wide range of plants we know emerged from such tiny bodies? Have you never wondered? Right, let's have a think then. All the colors, patterns, and scents in the plants we are now looking at, how long they are, the number and shape of leaves they have, whether or not they bear fruit, and all their other features are hidden inside the seed. In other words, every seed is a perfect data bank. For example, the color, number of leaves, softness, and perfume of the rose are all pieces of data. It is such data that causes grapes to emerge in the form of sweet, water-filled sac from the dry, stick-like stems of the vine. It is similar data inside the seed that makes grape peels different to hazelnut shells, which give them their different colors, tastes, and scents, as well as the vitamins they contain, and makes one juicy and the other dry. Human beings use computers to store information. Yet compared to a tiny seed, even a computer is very simple. That is because the seed contains hundreds of thousands of pages worth of information. In addition, it is a highly complex system that scientists have not yet fully understood and have so far been unable to copy. This is because it is God who created the seed and God who created the systems within it. Every seed is enfolded by the knowledge of God. It grows under His inspiration and thus turns into a plant. God reveals this in another verse from the Quran. The keys of the unseen are in His possession. No one knows them but Him. He knows everything in the land and sea. No leaf falls without His knowing it. There is no seed in the darkness of the earth, and nothing moist or dry which is not in a clear book. Our flawlessly functioning bodies. Every detail in our bodies has been created for a specific purpose. Even the hairs on our bodies have a purpose. Our eyebrows and eyelashes only grow to a certain length. However, our hair grows throughout the course of our lives, and that enables us to style it as we wish. Ah! I don't have any hair! What would happen if our eyelashes grew in the same way as our hair? In that case, our eyelashes would grow right over our eyes and stop us from seeing anything. Who tells our eyelashes to stop growing once they have reached a specified length? When we think about such questions, we can immediately see that every part of our body has been created. There is also complete harmony in the way that our bones grow. Our brains began growing right from infancy. Our skulls also start growing at the same time. If our skulls and brains grew at different rates, and our skulls were small, while our brains were large, then we could not live. But no such thing actually happens. Our skulls grow until we reach a certain age, together with our brains, and protect our brains. Fine, but why is it that our bones, which develop in proportion to our ages, stop growing once they reach a particular size? What would happen if they kept growing? For example, if the bones that make up our rib cages did not stop growing once they had attained a certain size, then our bodies would be much less aesthetic than they actually are. Yet, thanks to the careful working of our bone cells, no such thing ever happens. Isn't that amazing? I was amazed too when I first heard about it. Can a bone cell possess enough information to be able to do all these things? How does it know when and where to grow or stop growing? How is it that although all the bones in our bodies consist of the same bone cells, some are very flexible, while others are quite rigid? How do different bones know that they have to make up our hands? How is it that the bones that comprise our arms, legs, and fingers grow to the same size on both sides of our bodies? These are all questions we need to ask ourselves in order to better understand the perfection in our bodies. It is absolutely impossible to claim that all these things happen by chance. The cells of which we are made cannot take such decisions themselves. These things are all part of the artistry of God, who created us in the finest way. In one verse of the Quran, he tells us, "Look at the bones, how we raise them up and clothe them in flesh." The importance of water to us. Much of the earth is covered in water. The seas and oceans make up 3/4 of the earth's surface. And there are countless lakes and rivers on the land. The snow that covers the peaks of high mountains is water in frozen form. A large part of the Earth's water is also up in the air. Every cloud contains thousands of tons of water. Ahmad, don't sit so close to the television. You'll damage your eyes. There is also a certain amount of water vapor in the air we breathe. Water makes up around 70% of our bodies. There is more water than anything else in our cells. Even the blood that runs through our bodies consists largely of water. In other words, life without water is impossible, friends. Water, which is the foundation of life, has been created for life in all its aspects. Let us now have a look at some of the properties of water. All substances in the world are denser in solid form than they are as liquids, all apart from water. As every other substance, water shrinks as it cools down to 4 degrees Celsius, after which, however, unlike all others, it begins expanding. As it becomes ice, it expands to a considerable extent. That means that water in its solid state is less dense than water in liquid form. In other words, according to the laws of physics, ice should have been heavier than water, but it is actually lighter. This amazing state of affairs has a very important result. Ice floats on water. This, in turn, has its own important consequences. winter temperatures drop below zero in many parts of the world. This naturally affects the seas and lakes. Water freezes when it reaches 0 degrees Celsius. But this freezing only happens on the surface. A 4 degree Celsius layer of water beneath the surface is enough to keep fish and other creatures that live in the water alive. Ice transmits very little of the cold in the air to the layer underneath it.
Thus, even if the air temperature falls to as low as minus 50 degrees Celsius, the ice layer on the surface of the sea goes down no more than 1 or 2 meters.
Seals, bears, and other polar animals are thus able to make holes in the ice and reach the open sea. What would happen if this was not the case and ice sank to the bottom? In that case, the oceans, the seas, and the lakes would begin freezing from the bottom up. Since there would be no layer of ice to keep out the cold from above, freezing would continue upwards. Many of the lakes, seas, and oceans on Earth would, therefore, turn into solid blocks of ice. All that would be left would be a layer of water just a few meters thick on the surface. And even if air temperatures rose, the ice at the bottom would never melt. Nothing could, therefore, live in the Earth's seas. The absence of life in the seas would affect the balances in the world, and life on land would also be impossible. If water behaved like other liquids, the Earth would be a dead planet. But thankfully, it doesn't. The fact is that thanks to God's might and flawless creation, our Earth is a planet filled with life. Other properties of water also play an important role in the Earth having a moderate and balanced climate. Thanks to the molecular properties of water, the seas heat up and cool down much slower than the land. This means that on land there can be a temperature difference of up to 140 degrees between the hottest places and the coldest, while the temperature difference in the sea ranges at most from 15 to 20 degrees Celsius. The same thing applies to the temperature difference between day and night. The difference between day and night can be as high as 20 to 30 degrees in dry climates, while it is no more than a few degrees in the sea. Thanks to the thermal characteristics of water, the difference in temperature between winter and summer, or day and night, remains within limits that all life forms can tolerate. If the proportion of the Earth that is covered in water compared to that covered in land were less, then the temperature difference between night and day would increase enormously. Much of the land would turn into desert, and life would become impossible. Water is obviously very important for life. In the Quran, God reveals that He has given us water as a blessing. We sent down a measured amount of water from heaven and lodged it firmly in the earth. And we are well able to remove it. By means of it, we produce gardens of dates and grapes for you, in which there are many fruits for you and from which you eat. Let us reflect once more. The blessings we have seen in this film are just a very few of all those God has given us. Everything we can think of and benefit from is a blessing created for us by God. Means of transport is an example. We can go wherever we want by getting into a car or bus. Our clothes protect us against the heat in the summer and against the cold in the winter. There is no end to the list of blessings God bestows on us. Indeed, God tells us in the Quran that this list is endless. He has given you everything you have asked Him for. If you tried to number God's blessings, you could never count them. We must therefore always bear these blessings in mind and give thanks to God for bestowing them on us.